No, it's a blessing to be here tonight. And I tell you one thing, it's a blessing to be able to be here. Because I got a chance to come back tonight, and I thank the Lord for that. A lot of people cannot because they're not able, but thank the Lord that I'm able. In Matthew chapter 28, this was on my heart all through our revival that Brother Rick Brown brought. We are a mission church. And the mission of Pleasant Hill, what is the mission of Pleasant Hill? You know, Pleasant Hill has a mission. Did y'all know that? And I made up a mission statement, and I have these back on the foyer. Some of you picked them up. The mission statement of Pleasant Hill Church. Pleasant Hill exists for the purpose of magnifying Jesus through worship and the Word. Pleasant Hill exists for making Jesus known to neighbors and the nation. Pleasant Hill exists for moving believers in Jesus towards maturity in the ministry. That is our goal. That is our ministry. You know, a lot of time people is asked, what do y'all believe at that church? A lot of people maybe asked you, what does Pleasant Hill believe? And I heard someone say, well, I believe what Marshall and IB believes. Well, what do they believe? Well, they believe the same thing the church believe. What the church believe, the same thing I believe. What everybody believe, we all believe the same thing. Do you really know what this church should stand for and what this church believes? Because so many times we know the people has to leave and they have to transfer their jobs. They grow up like a lot of our kids have, and they go off to another church. They have to move, whatever it is. And then they look for a church, and they need to look and see what a church really stands for and what really the mission statement of the church should be. And really this should be in our bylaws of what we stand for as a mission, our mission statement. But our mission statement has been given by our commander-in-chief, and I'm certainly not talking about this thing called a president, but our commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ, commander-in-chief of the Salvation Army, the Salvation Army. Matthew chapter 28, this has been on my heart all week as Brother Rick was preaching, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I with you all the way, even to the end of the world. And amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the day. Lord, you have been merciful to us today. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for health, life, and strength to be here today. Father, we just thank you for each person that's here. Father, for the prayers that have been offered up this day, for the word of God. Father, we just want to thank you for the song service this night and this day, for the Sunday school hour, for everything we've done here today to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, and we thank you for this place called Pleasant Hill. We thank you for this church. We thank you for those people. And Father, we just pray that you might give us a vision for the future. And we want to say thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. You know what the church really believes. And you know, as I say, when people go off to looking for another church, move for whatever reason they have to go for. You see, you need to have more than just the Baptist on the name of a church to understand. Because you need to know what the church stands for. And it comes from authority from Jesus Christ. As I said, the marching orders is our great commission, the great commission. And Pleasant Hill, we are responsible to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Pleasant Hill exists for the purpose of magnifying Jesus. And I really believe Jesus was magnified this past week. So start with the mission, the vision that we have for this church. And you say, what is our vision? Well, I'll ask you a question. I don't know how many of us, 80-some-odd years this church has been here, as we mentioned. But you see, there was a vision for this church on the woodpile. Did y'all realize that? On the woodpile, before that old church was even built. Not the one we see there, but the old wooden church. There was a vision for a church to be here in this area, at this place, and those people had a vision. And throughout the generation, we need a vision. Now, what is the vision that we have for this church? What's the vision of Pleasant Hill this day? What is it really worth? The visionary that we have, our mission vision. is to grow this church and the statement of obedience we need. Well, to start with, we have this mission vision and our fellowship mission. We have a fellowship mission, the united of each and every individual we have as members of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And I believe this really came out in revival to unite us together again. Be united is a revival of the church. And we need to be reunited for one way, and that is for Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfect joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There be no division." That is a revival that continues on. As Brother Rich said, you know, we pray that our revival continue on. If it does, it be in unity. There will be no division among us. And that's exactly what's wrong with a lot of churches today, and the problem they have is because they have division in the church, division among people today. Now, I know if you're saying these boats where everybody rows together, I don't know what you call them, but you're seeing what everybody gets that paddle all the way, rows together. Well, if everybody is rowing together, there's no time for rocking the boat. But you see, whenever people quit rowing, you'll have problems in the church, and you start rocking the boat. That's when we need revival. That's when he says, come, there'll be no division among you. They don't need to be no division among you. All of us need the same vision, and and that is what I just read you, the mission statement of this church. Everything we need to do. Real fellowship is not coffee and donuts. Real fellowship is serving Jesus Christ for the common cause of his name, to glorify Jesus Christ. 1 John 3 and 14. "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death." This is a statement from the Word of God that tells us if someone may be a church member, they will not come. They do not love their brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Bible says, if you do not, you abide in death. And that death means that you're lost. That you will love your brothers and sisters. That is one of the clearest statements we have in the Bible, that someone's saved, because they'll love the things of God, they'll love the people of God, they'll love the Word of God. So to start with, the mission vision we need to have is a fellowship mission, that everybody is rowing that boat the same way. And thank you, Pleasant Hill, because there's a lot of churches don't have this spirit. Old Rick said, you know, a lot of time he goes in a lot of churches. He preaches all over the place, goes in where they have an all type of problem, where they run the preacher off. He stays there and he tries to build that church back up. And you know his statement that we're trying to hand it over to someone else? Well, every church is not like Pleasant Hill, I'm telling you. Because someone quits rowing together and they start rocking the boat. I want you to have a vision and a fellowship vision, but also we need to have a focus vision. A focused mission that we have. All of us need to be focused on one thing. James 1 and 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Can't think two things at one time. We need to have our mindset and focused on Jesus Christ, and that's magnifying Jesus Christ. Now, most of us play with a magnifying glass, you know, bring things up to us that we might be able to see, but also a magnifying glass out in the sun. I know as all the kids probably we've done this, took that magnifying glass and get it out in the sun. You know what? It'll burn you. You get that light focused and it'll burn. Well, I like to ask you, what is a laser? A laser is that focused light beam. It's focused right down small. And you know what? It can be focused so small and so powerful that you know that laser beam can burn steel. It can melt steel, a ray of light, focused so small. All of our light together, listen, we can burn steel here at this church. We need to be focused. The light that God has given Pleasant Hill, we just need to get focused. That's what the church, and we have to have a vision, and a mission vision. If we get focused on what Jesus Christ means to us and the things we need to do for Jesus Christ and to magnify Jesus Christ in this world. The light makes the difference. The different light that we have today, the focus of this light, this energizing light that we have in this church. This church is a powerful church. Name the name of Jesus Christ, you have this power. You know, there's power dams across this nation. I've been fortunate to go to the Hoover Dam. And this Hoover Dam, they got a wall of water. I'm telling you, I don't know how many feet high that is, but that Hoover Dam is a great, great dam. And I tell you, that water comes out on the other side. It turns on turbines and makes electricity. That all that power is focused to make electricity. And the power that you have, the living water that God has given us, the light that God has given us as a church, and the water of life that God has given us, we can be just that powerful in the light that He has given us. We focus that light and what we can do for Jesus Christ as a church. Yes, we're small. Yes, we're small, but we have this power. Old Benjamin Franklin, when he saw that light, he said, boy, if we just are able to harness this power, how great it would be. And that's exactly what he done as a light bulb that we have today. If we could just get the power that God has given this church, if we could just get this power focused together in our missions, I tell you, it would be great to magnify Jesus Christ and the power that he has given us and this vision that we need. A fellowship mission, you know what? We need to have a focused mission, but a family mission. Family of you and I today. We are God's family. And Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding is it established, the house of God. And also it says in verse 2, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. We must be doing what God tells us to do and going forth as a church. We need a goal. We need a goal for this family of God here at Pleasant Hill and a purpose to have, you know, success today at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. But not only that, we need a future mission and a family mission. And this future mission, I tell you, in Luke chapter 14:28, it says, for which of you intended to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient funds to finish it? Or is there a what king goes to war, make war against another king, setteth not down first and consult whether he be able to have 10,000 to meet him that cometh with him with 20,000? Count the cost. What can we do for the Lord Jesus Christ? As we have this family mission and we also have this focused mission and this future mission we have today. As we come to many of us here today and upside a smaller church today, we really have a project, and that project is move the family forward for the future, the family of Pleasant Hill. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We need a vision. They had a vision many years ago here out this church. And you know, we would not have experienced the place that you have. I would not have grown up, and I would not be saved here at this place, and my family have a church home to come to if it wasn't for the vision that those few people had back whenever this, before the Pleasant Hill was ever built. Had a vision for you and I. They didn't know you. They didn't know me. There's people out in the future that I'll never meet. What is the vision for this church, for your families and my family, for our offspring, for our neighbors and friends and people that comes in this area? What is the vision that we have today for them? That song they sung, when he was on the cross, we was on his mind. Well, who, do you have someone on your mind? See, Jesus Christ was looking down. He had a vision, and his vision for people to be saved. You and I today. So as you think about that problem today, as we look out upon our country, look out upon our church and our family, you know what? There's just very little vision. And where there's no faith for the future, there's no power for the present. Where there's no faith for the future at this church, there will be no power for the present that we sit here today. I'm afraid we're falling down to this. Y'all ever watch the cartoons of Yogi Berra? That old cartoon character? If you don't know where you're going, you better be careful. You might wind up somewhere else. If you don't know where we're going, we might wind up somewhere else. We need to know as a church where we're going. If we don't, we'll drift from our mission as a church. We'll drift from our mission. Church family at Pleasant Hill. Young people today, to capture the young people. You know, that's a great task today, to capture the young people's mind. MTV television, the correspondent of MTV says, you know what? The strongest appeal that you can make is to the emotional appeal of the young people. Because he said, if you can get their emotions, they will forget their logic. And that's where MTV has our young people. And a lot of churches are trying to do this, trying to get young people by their emotions, and they forget the logic of Jesus Christ. They win them to the church, but they don't win them to Jesus. We don't need to forget really what we focused on, and that is Jesus Christ. They're missing the logic. You see, we really need a mission vision for this church. That's me and Brother Marshall, and that's you and the whole church together is have a mission. We've come this far from the woodpile. You reckon God wants us to stop here? Have we done everything that God wants us to do? Are we content of what we have, what God's done for us? Or do we have a vision for the future of Pleasant Hill? And what is it? What are we doing to further the future in our mission statement? You see, there's a mission value ahead of us. A mission value. What is this mission value? To be very, very particular with this mission value. And 2 Corinthians 12 and 1 says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to vision and revelation of the Lord. It's the vision and revelation of the Lord. Ephesians 3 and 21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, worlds without end. Amen. You know what that statement says? That means magnifying Jesus Christ. You know, that's what I really think we've done this past week. That's revival, when we magnify Jesus Christ. He's the center of everything. That's what it's all about. That's what church is all about, magnifying the precious name of Jesus. What do we do? Everything that we do, whether it be our prayers, our Sunday school, our preaching, our singing, everything we do is magnifying Jesus Christ. Everything. And without that, we'd be doing nothing. We would be doing nothing. Magnifying Jesus Christ. How? By the word, to make Jesus Christ visible. He is invisible in this world today except through you and I. This church is Jesus in this community that you and I live. This church represents Jesus in this community which we live. Now, what do they see in your life and my life of this church? How do we magnify his precious name? As I said, you know, by the word of Jesus Christ, we do this. Psalms 119, 105, I really like this verse. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God. Each day that we travel, the written word of God glorifies the living word of God, which is Jesus Christ. You see, when someone's lost, you see, it takes the written word of God to reveal the living word of God that they may be saved. That's the way that we glorify Jesus Christ, by the word. We need the word of God so much in our life. The ministry, Pleasant Hill, the ministry of the word of God begins where? In the pulpit. It begins in a pulpit and it continues throughout the church and like I said, in everything that we do. In Sunday school, prayer meeting, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, singing, everything that we do, we need to have Jesus Christ the center of everything. We need to remember this, and anybody that ever leaves and grows up, they need to remember this. But it says in Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. God is calling us for a mission of this church. God's called you to this church for a mission. By the word and by the walk and octave also by worship. God sets a table. Each time that God calls this church together, God sets a table for this church. Every time. Even revival. God called this church together at revival. Every member of this church, God had a message for and a blessing for every member. Every member, whether you come or you did not come, God had a message for you. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsake the assembling ourselves together today as the manner of some is, but exalting one another so much the more as we see that day approaching. What day is he talking about? I think the day we already have, the day that you and I are living in today. Why? Because the love of many shall wax cold. We're already having that day is approaching. God gives us bread through this worship we in right now. The worship service. God sets a well-rounded table, amen? I mean, when he prepares a table, it's well-rounded. Everything that you'll need. Can you imagine the supper of the Lamb that we will all be part of? Can you imagine what will be at that table? Well, God sets a table every time he calls this church to come together. God sets a table. He sets a meal for every one of us, whether it be in Sunday school, Wednesday night, whatever it might be. But God also gives a picture of himself whenever we meet together. Jesus Christ is pictured here before us. And a lot of people have a distorted view of Jesus Christ because they do not come regular. Just as you give your little ones a puzzle to put together, now if you take some of those pieces away from that child that's putting that puzzle together, when he gets all the pieces he can put together, or she can, they won't understand the picture because they puzzles, pieces of puzzle that's missing. Did you know that's exactly what happens to people that's called by the name of Jesus Christ will not come to the house of God for God to give him that piece of puzzle or her, that they might put that together to see a clear picture of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior? When you miss, you distort the image of Jesus Christ. The church is so well needed today. I tell you, by worship, but also understand by weeping. I didn't put that up there, but by weeping. 106, 5 and 6 says, they that sow it in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with his, bring his sheaves with him. As we have the tears to follow Jesus Christ, the tears that follows him. If you ever had someone on your heart and your mind so much that you had tears for the soul of that person, you see, that's magnifying Jesus Christ through our tears. Magnifying Jesus Christ to our neighbors and to our friends and to our loved ones. In our country, you know the evangelism explosion that we should be having today, making Jesus Christ known. When, as a person, as a church, whenever we get to the point that we, as a church, is satisfied where we at, you know what we're saying to our friends, neighbors, and loved ones? Go to hell. When we're satisfied, we condition we're in. How many people have we invited to not hear the word of God lately? How many people have we knocked on the doors? I know that Richie Allen is over there in the jungle now on a mission trip. Well, I tell you also, we have a jungle right here around us. It's a great mission also. Our homes, our neighbors, our friends, our kids. God measures church not by the seating capacity that they have, but by the sending capacity that they have. That's how God measured this church, not how many that we can seat, but the sending capacity that we have to reach people that do not know Jesus Christ and all the mission work that we do. And yet it's not enough. But we understand the maturity in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. There's maturity in stature. Verse 13, it says in Ephesians, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our mission goal, that we all come into the unity of Christ as we go in the knowledge in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and become like him. You see, the ministry we have at this church, and I ask you a question. Are you coming more and more like Jesus Christ? That's how we measure this church. Are you coming more like Jesus Christ in stature? Are you maturing in stature to be more like Jesus Christ? Maturing in stability. In verse 14 it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of darkness by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. See, today, it's not just false cults that's deceiving people today. It's false preachers in Baptist churches also. I can tell you that. You better be careful because they have left the Word of God, and a lot of our Baptist churches have today. They're not built on the Word of God. They may mature in stature and stability. They might stand on the Word of God, but also mature in speech. In verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Don't back up and do not apologize for the truth. It is the Word of God. We do not back up and apologize for the truth. Homosexuality is wrong. It is the truth of the Word of God. It is a sin. that was not born this way. We must tell them the truth, but also we must tell them in love that God loves them just as much as he loves any of us. That is the truth. We don't apologize what the Word of God says. We just need to tell the truth, but we need to tell the truth in love. Maturity in service is verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increasing of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Maturing in our service. Every joint. We have some joints sometimes don't work real good. You don't know that? You know, sometimes we have some joints and gets out of joint. Well, sometimes people gets out of joint too. See, when every joint together, that's talking about the family of God. That's talking the body of Jesus Christ. Every part is very, very important. Even the end of your little thumb, your thumb, ain't it, Jimmy? Even the end of your thumb is important. You miss it. Every joint should be bound together for edifying of the body. And that's all Christians. Because there's a part, a little part is missing. There's some time that you need it. Everybody, there's part time that sometimes you might be missing, but we need you. We need you. God said we need you. That's, you know what, we grow in harmony together. When people are mature, they can work together in harmony when they mature in the Lord. You see these little children sometimes in a nursery and in your nursery school. They have, one of them has a toy, and all of them wants it. All of them wants it, that toy. They don't really get along too good together. Because one of them gets that toy, they all want that toy. You know what's wrong with them? They're babies. You know, when you don't get along with someone in the church, you know what's wrong? There's babies in the church. They have not grown up. I don't know where you're sitting at today, how big that you or how grown you are in the church, but you know we have a problem in the church because they're just big old babies and need to grow up in the Lord. Our goal is to move members to maturity in everything that we do. That's the reason Sunday school teachers, they spend the hours they do of studying. That's the reason I spend hours in my study, and Brother Marshall, is to bring you a message from the Lord that might grow you in maturity, that we all be bond together for the glory of Jesus Christ. And not just for a church, but for Jesus Christ. And then the praying ministry at Pleasant Hill. You think about the praying ministry and the responsibility we have for the new members to develop and teach them to pray and teach people to pray. You know, we have an encouraging ministry here at this church, a great praying ministry at this church. Remember the mission statement I have about there in the foyer, what we really need to understand. And even this through speech and this mission statement of Pleasant Hill. Pleasant Hill exists for the purpose of magnifying Jesus Christ through the worship and the word. Pleasant Hill exists for making Jesus Christ known to our neighbors and also to the nations. Pleasant Hill exists for moving believers in Jesus Christ towards maturity, the missions. The liberals of this world says the church is going out. The church is going out. Well, the church has been bought out by the blood of Jesus Christ, his own son. That's regeneration. But we know also the church is called out by the Holy Spirit. That is relationship. Come follow me. We know the church has been sent out. That's revelation of Jesus Christ. One of these days, the church will be taken out, and that's the rapture. God's got something for every age. They say, yeah, the church is out. It's out. It's been out, called out. It's going to be called up one of these days. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, I read again. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and to earth. You go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. The last thing we have is the mission victory of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And what is the victory that we have as a church as a whole? And that is making Jesus Christ known to the world around you and I. Not just in this community, but you and I go out in my everyday life. You go out into your everyday life. You know what? You ever watch old Waters World on television on O'Reilly? He said, this is my world right here. When you and I go out, we have a world around us. You see people I don't see. I see people you don't see. Then we have a world around us. Our mission and our victory in this world that you're going through, and you have a certain circle that you carry with you everywhere you go, and that circle is making Jesus Christ known. You'll be surprised that people don't know how to be saved. A lot of people think they're saved, but you'll be surprised, even in our little world that I live and you live in surrounding, that people don't know Jesus Christ. The mission victory that we have as a church and what God has called us for is making Jesus Christ known. That's one of the things that I got out of our revival, that we need to have a mission for this church. And if we don't have a vision, man, if we don't have some values and we don't have victory in this mission, you know what we'll do? We'll cease to be a church. Or we might meet together, but we'll cease to be a church for Jesus Christ. We need to be on the missionary movement. And I tell you, there's some people that need to know Jesus Christ. It'll become the song invitation. As I said, I got a half a sermon tonight. I hope you understand the mission we have for this church. The mission I like for this church to have, because I, 80-some-odd years? How many years will we have this homecoming? 80 what? 84. Starting right now. If I was to go to the grave right now as I preach this morning, 84 years from now, if the Lord don't come back, what would this church be like? From where it moved to, from a wood pile, 84 years from now, where will Pleasant Hill be? What is your mission for Pleasant Hill in the next 84 years? You know, pretty soon, several of us are not going to be here. Several of us won't be here many more years. There's been a lot of people. We have that deceased board back there, and there probably some is not even on her. But anyway, there's a lot of people that's not with us now. They've already gone on. 84 years, there'll be a lot more people that's gone on. I wonder if Jesus Christ don't come back, I wonder who's going to be standing in this pulpit or wherever this church may be, maybe grow to 1/10 times this big, I don't know. But stand and say, "Way, way back there when they built that new church, they had a mission, and wherever they will be for you and I 84 years from now, what will that mission be? Your great-great-grandkids may be in that church. Some of your family and relatives might be in that church 84 years from now. What will that church be if everybody church just like me?" God bless you. We have a song of invitation.